Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. Let's commence our meeting this morning by singing hymn number 192, hymn 192. Lord of all power, I give you my will, in joyful obedience your tasks to fulfill. Your bondage is freedom, your service is song, and held in your keeping, my weakness is strong. Hymn 192. Let us now join together in singing hymn number 295. Hymn number 295. Most glorious things are spoken, Jerusalem, of thee, to all God's saints the token of love and liberty. Who shall thy hill ascending, from pain and sorrow free, from sin and death's contending, the living glory be? Hymn number 295. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. Dear brothers and sisters, in the scriptures, there is the contrast between light and darkness. In Chronicles, Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple is introduced by the words, The Lord hath said that he would dwell in thick darkness. And in our reading from John this morning, we have the words of Jesus, some of which we just read. And then at verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whoso believeth on me should not abide in darkness. We are taught in scriptures that our God is a consuming fire. His presence is indicated by fire and lightning, thunder, cloud, and smoke. He dwells in light which is unapproachable. His judgments often through consuming fire. The creator of all things is the source of all power and life. And this is shown by representing him as being a brilliant light. So bright, in fact, is this light that mortal man cannot behold it. And we remember Moses, who asked to see God's glory and was hid in the cleft of the rock. When he descended from the mount, his face shone as brilliance that was uncomfortable to behold, and for a while he had to wear a veil over his face. Because of God's great power and resplendent glory, it had to be shrouded in clouds and darkness and smoke, or it would consume those who exposed to it. The presence of God to Israel was often represented by a cloud surrounding the tabernacle or the tent of Moses. He met with man in the darkness of the most holy place and communed with him from between the cherubim and the Ark of the Testimony. God to us is all-powerful and is life-giving light. And while we remain mortal, his glory cannot be revealed to us fully. In the beginning of creation, God said, Let there be light, and there was light, and he divided the light from the darkness. This light emanates from the sun, and we wonder at the greatness of God, that he controls the power and the exact positioning of this great fiery orb. A fraction nearer, and we'll be burnt to a frazzle. A fraction further away, and we will be enveloped in ice. Our Earth is part of the solar system that depends entirely upon the sun. Without the sun, all life and life-giving substance would die upon this earth. There'll be no clouds, no tides, no warmth, no light. The earth would be dead and lifeless. So we are dependent on the sun, and we are dependent on God, who created it, who is the embodiment of all life and light. Because God cannot at present dwell with man, He has revealed himself and his glory in his Son. He, then, for us, is the light of the world, and we, as we have already seen, light is the source of all life. So Jesus is not only the light, but he is the source of life for the world. Without the Son, the world would be in darkness. Without Jesus, the Son, it would be a life without hope. The world then stands for darkness, and God and his Son, in sharp contrast, stand for light. John, as we know, commences his gospel with these well-known words. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or overcame it not. He went on to explain that Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Long ago, though, Isaiah had spoken of this light. In chapter 9, he says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath light shined." And in another passage, he extends the light to the Gentiles. He extends it to us, saying that one would come who would be for a light to the Gentiles, to open the eyes of those who are blind, to bring out the prisoner and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Isn't that just wonderful, brothers and sisters? Later on, there is a beautiful prophetic description of this, of Jesus, when he healed the blind man in John chapter 9. And Jesus says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." His words and actions brought light and life to all men who accepted him. They brought light in every sense to the man who was born blind, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In John's gospel, the man before him was figuratively made blind by the clay, which Jesus anointed the eyes. The clay stands for our mortal, cursed nature, which holds us in the darkness. It holds us in the darkness of the grave. The blind man was then told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And in faith he went, and he washed, and he saw. This faith in Jesus, as one sent from God, he clung to all in the discussions and the accusations which followed. But in the end, the Pharisees cast him out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard this, he sought and found the man out, and built on that initial faith, to the point that the man believed on Jesus and worshipped him. And what a wonderful lesson, brothers and sisters, for us. Following this, we have Jesus' summation of the situation. He says, "For judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not may see, and they which see might be blind." The blind man and the Pharisees illustrate this physically and spiritually. The blind man was in physical and spiritual darkness, but on him the light of God in Jesus shined, and he both saw and believed. Is that us, brothers and sisters? His life forthwith became a light in this dark world. On the other hand, the Pharisees, professing knowledge, could not see the light of Jesus. They could not see the light of his teaching, and they remained in darkness. Is that us? In fact, they were so angered by Jesus' teaching that they took up stones to cast at him, and as we shall shortly remember, they eventually put him to death. They could not stand the searching light of his words, and they tried to extinguish the light of the world that they could continue in their darkness. As Jesus says in John 3 verse 19, this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, brothers and sisters, we are privileged not to be in darkness. We are like the blind man who heard and in faith believed and washed and saw. It is to us who have been brought out of the darkness of the world into the life-giving light of God. In Jesus, that the exhortation of Jesus comes, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Just as all living things upon the earth depend upon the sun to produce their food, so we must depend upon that which Jesus can give us for us to be sustained. And we carry this figure a little further by remembering that in the natural world, the synthesis of food materials takes place in the green leaves of the plants in sunlight to be stored in the fruits of the earth, so that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is essential for us to produce if we are to be approved by God. And this can only be produced by allowing the influence of Christ to operate in our lives. He is to us as the sun is to vegetation. In his life, these fruits of the Spirit were manifested in perfection. And we must try to follow his steps as closely as we can. Paul tells us this in writing to the Ephesians. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are children of the Lord. Walk as children of light. And this brings us to another exhortation of Jesus to those who would follow him and remain with him in his light. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Even as Jesus' light and glory is derived from his Father, so the light within us is derived from Jesus. We therefore have to be lights in this dark world. How does our light shine before men? Do they see a difference in us from those in the world? Are our standards those of Jesus or of the world? What sort of example of a man or a woman of God do we set to those around us? Do they know that we are trying to follow Jesus? Are we always courteous, considerate, patient, temperate, honest, pure of language, not easily provoked, and possessed of a peace that cannot be disturbed by the troubles of this world? A light, says Jesus, is to be seen and not hidden. And the light which he has planted in each of us, is to be reflected to others. Are we ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us? Or perhaps are we hiding our light under a bushel? There are but some of the rays of light that should shine from us to enlighten the darkness of the world around us. The object of all our work is to glorify the Father in heaven, who is the source of the light. Now, almost at the end of his ministry, Jesus expounded to his disciples a further way in which the light of God might be reflected from them. As an example to those in the world, he says in John chapter 13, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." But this means a light would shine, whose source none could mistake. Our relationship with each other is therefore highly important as an example of the way the love of God has affected our lives. We are seen to be the disciples of Jesus if we show love to one another. And this can be done by bringing forth those fruits of the Spirit. Jesus showed by example the way to shed forth light in the world. Just think of his infinite compassion for the multitudes. They came to him to be fed and healed and taught. And although he was often tired and weary, he supplied all of their needs. Think of his patience with his disciples, who were so often without faith and understanding of his teaching. Think above all things of his great sacrifice for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so here is the highest form of agape love, loving the unlovable. The light of God's love shining forth in the darkness of this world. And dear brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus did for us. And we are asked to think about these things and to follow in his steps, shedding forth just a little light in the dark world. The powers of darkness in the days of Jesus were made uncomfortable by the brightness of his appearing. And the searching light of his words, they consorted together to extinguish that light. And when they crucified him, they thought they had accomplished their purpose. For 3 hours prior to his death, there was darkness upon the face of the earth. But 3 days later, he rose from the grave to die no more and to assume from his Father all power in heaven and earth. The resurrection lit a beacon which affected the lives of Jesus' disciples in his day and all those who have looked to him ever since, including us. We are now to remember his death and his resurrections in the emblems on the table before us. They remind us of the way of salvation. It is one of the great sacrifice and example, the shedding forth of the light of God in our hearts. The day of our Lord's return is near at hand. His appearing will be in power and great glory as the sun rises over the horizon to dispel the darkness of night and to bring warmth and light and life to the day. So will Jesus come into this dark world that in the main knows not God. He will be the Sun of righteousness, who arises with healing in his beams, shedding forth his rays over the entire earth. In that day, says Daniel, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turned many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. And we pray, brothers and sisters, that may include us. For our memorial hymn, we've chosen hymn number 266. Hymn 266. Our Heavenly Father, who by grace hath called us to bear the name of thy beloved Son, shine forth thy blessings down upon thy children as we in prayer approach thy glorious throne. Hymn 266.
Thank you.
Brother Alec will give the final prayer after we have sung hymn number 200. Hymn 200. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God my Saviour shall my heart rejoice. Hymn number 200.